Hello, I'm Eric Corman, Communications Director at League of Education Voters. In our podcast, we interview policymakers, partners, and thought leaders to spotlight education policies, research, and practices so that together we can create a brighter future for every Washington student. This is the second episode in a series focused on how to implement multi-tiered system of supports, or MTSS. Rachel Madding recently joined Highline Public Schools as the School Mental Health Program Manager, where she's responsible for integrating mental health into existing MTSS work. Rachel is a mental health counselor, and prior to joining Highline Public Schools, she worked for Seattle Public Schools for the last 9 years. During her tenure at SPS, Rachel integrated mental health supports into existing MTSS teams and provided wraparound supports for students and their families at the highest levels of need. Rachel, one of League of Education Voters' top legislative priorities in the 2020 session is implementing a multi-tiered system of supports, or MTSS. How would you describe what MTSS is?
MTSS is a framework that schools can use to make sure that they are really looking at the whole child. The concept of it can be very nebulous, and it can be hard to really pin down what it is, and I think that that often can deter buildings from really digging into the work and understanding how it can be beneficial. Really, all it is a framework for schools to make sure that they have the ability to intervene at every level of student need. Integrating pieces of data and information that will help them to see something that they might miss otherwise. So, for example, a student that might be struggling in a math class, if we only simply look at the academic data, we might try doing multiple interventions, reteaching them different methods of doing the operations that they're struggling with, and missing out on some other pieces of what might be going on in their life. And so through the MTSS process, because we're looking at their attendance data, we're looking at their behavioral data, we're looking at their academic data altogether, we might notice that the student is skipping math class. And we might further be able to surmise that that student is struggling with anxiety around the multiple tests that are required in a math class that might differ from other subjects. And so we might be able to be more efficient in assigning an intervention that will actually get at the heart of what's going on with the student rather than reteaching them math or having them experience a math intervention class. So that is one of the opportunities that MTSS affords that I've seen in practice myself. Beyond that, MTSS allows for us to really identify what the individualized needs of students are and have a response that's evidence-based, that's driven by data, and that is made as part of a team decision-making process rather than one teacher operating in a silo and only looking at pieces of that student's information. So it provides a more comprehensive way to look at student data and provide intervention.
It's basically the school team getting together and discussing what individual students need and then coming up with a comprehensive group strategy to provide those needs?
It is. In some cases, it is a group strategy, and in some cases, it is an individual strategy. Mm-hmm. And so at Tier 1, we see things that are going to be helpful for the entire school, universal interventions, which would look like really clear expectations around the school, around routines and expectations. We find that the majority of students will respond well to that Tier 1 intervention. Rather than utilizing a one-on-one intervention with a staff person, we can say, since the Tier 1 intervention didn't work, let's look at Tier 2, which might be a small group of students that are struggling in a specific area. And so it allows schools to use their resources more efficiently, and it also, over time, when it's successful, can actually cut down on the amount of meetings that teachers are attending and the amount of work that each individual staff person is doing alone. Furthermore, it also will improve student outcomes because as we continue to get in the habit of reviewing all of that data as a collective and looking at the whole child, we're able to catch and identify things early rather than waiting until it hits a crisis point before we intervene. So it creates better outcomes for our students.
And there's also a Tier 3, right? So that you've got Tier 1 basically being, what, 80% of the student population, and then Tier 2 being 15%-ish? And then what does Tier 3 look like?
Tier 3 would be a student that received a really strong Tier 1 intervention, a really strong Tier 2 intervention, and was still struggling with whatever the challenge was, whether it be around academics or behavior. And the tier three intervention would look like something a lot more intensive. It might be a one-on-one, it might be a referral to a mental health counselor from an outside organization, or some other sort of higher level intervention, but we don't always want to jump to the tier three. And so that's where the multi-level part is really helpful in slowing us down from jumping to the most restrictive intervention that we can provide to a student and giving them an opportunity to grow in tier one and two before we get to that point.
How could local education agencies, and I'm talking school districts, charter public schools, and tribal compact schools, put this sort of system in place?
There are a lot of school districts and school buildings that are doing this work. I know OSPI is a really great resource. There's lots of information on their website. There's webinars. There are opportunities for coaches to come in. There's lots of folks. So I think joining a community where you can learn from others that are already doing the work and tap into the resources that they are using is a great way for educational agencies to get started on the process.
Do you see any model districts that are doing it particularly well, or any schools in particular that you really look up to?
Well, I would definitely need to mention South Shore K-8 in Seattle Public Schools. I was a part of that team integrating mental health into their MTSS process. And in a high-need school like that school, it was really important for us to factor in what that looked like. The outcomes that they have seen as a result of doing that work have been pretty significant. Additionally, one thing that was incredibly supportive about South Shore's MTSS team is that the whole school building really bought into the importance of the social-emotional learning aspect of MTSS and the mental health integration of MTSS.
So what's happening here at Highline involving MTSS that you're particularly proud of?
Well, I am brand new to Highline, and so I'm still absolutely getting to know the district and the great work that's happening here. And I am really excited to be part of this organization because they are doing the really progressive work of thinking about how to factor mental health in and how to really support students on every level. And so that is very exciting. And I think the fact that they are taking this work on speaks very highly of Highline as an organization.
What do you see as barriers to districts and schools implementing MTSS? Is it cost or is it something else, do you think?
In my opinion, I think the biggest barrier is time. Setting up a new system in a school that's functioning and has so many moving parts on a daily basis is really challenging. Teachers and staff have always been looking at data in one way or another, maybe not using this framework to do so. But it can be really anxiety-producing for staff to let go of systems that they've been a part of for so long and to relinquish the fear that something will be missed or students will fall through the cracks and to put their trust and faith in something that is new to them and is looking at student data in a different way. And so eventually, I do believe that well-functioning MTSS teams can actually reduce the amount of time and meetings that teachers and other staff attend. But I think initially the time for staff is a barrier and in their interest in participating in it.
Yeah, I think that's important to note that it could be time up front, but it'll make things move a lot quicker down the road. Now, if I'm a parent or if I'm an educator listening to this and I'm thinking to myself, hey, this sounds like a pretty good idea, what can I do to make it happen?
I would recommend to parents that they start with the parent organizations at their school, with their PTA, their PTSA, get involved in the work that's being done through those organizations and other parent organizations to find out what's already happening in schools. In my experience in buildings, oftentimes folks are doing portions of MTSS, but maybe they're not calling it MTSS. Mm-hmm. Understanding for parents how the schools are reviewing student data, I think, is a really important piece for them to understand and for them to be part of advocacy work in moving that forward. For teachers and other educators, I think talking to building level administration is a first step in, again, identifying what's already being done in the buildings and finding out how it's possible to help and support that work. The MTSS framework best practice actually does include parent voice and student voice in all levels of the tiered system. And so there are opportunities for families and students to really get involved directly with the work that's being done in buildings.
Well, let's talk about you. What would you say during your own educational journey worked for you really well, and what didn't work so well?
I attended the public school system in the Midwest, and I was in a school system that was incredibly focused on academics. With regard to that, I feel really fortunate to have had access to great teachers and great instruction and to have the importance of that really be prioritized through my own education. However, on the flip side, there was very little attention paid to social-emotional learning and to the overall emotional state of students. As an elementary school student, I was at school during a school shooting that happened on the larger campus where the high school and middle school were, and the principal of the high school was actually murdered. Wow. While I was in class. And that was before lockdowns. It was before we had any understanding on a global level about trauma and the impacts of that. Having been a counselor in a school and having responded to similar instances in the communities where I worked, I see the importance of the school response to that in really helping kids feel safe and supported at school and really understanding the larger context of community violence. And that simply wasn't there for myself and the students in my cohort at that time. Additionally, I do recall a friend of mine in elementary school also making a suicide attempt. And I recall them calling in the school psychologist to sit with the group of friends that were impacted by that. And we didn't know who that person was, and we didn't have a relationship, and that person hadn't been embedded in the school. Mm-hmm. As a result, we didn't get much out of it. And so I think that those things have certainly driven my desire to provide opportunities for students in that way, because we know that all students will face challenges of various kinds throughout their careers as students. And because it's our responsibility to make sure that they're well-rounded citizens, we want to make sure that we are addressing those needs and fears while they are at school as well.
It's all about relationships. If we have authentic relationships with our students, then we can authentically be there for them when they most need us.
Absolutely. I'll shout out South Shore again, because I think that a real strength of that building is leveraging those relationships to support students in times of crisis.
Well, if you could design our education system in Washington State and you were in charge, having no budgetary restrictions whatsoever, what would you do?
I have a couple thoughts. I would. Mental health, obviously, is the lens through which I do my work. And I think if I had a magic wand, I would absolutely provide not only a school counselor for every single school building, but also a mental health counselor. I think schools have a really unique opportunity to identify and intervene around mental health early. And we know that 1 in 5 kiddos are going to experience challenges with their mental health at some point, as are adults. And so knowing that that's just part of the conversation now, having those resources available at school can only strengthen student outcomes and help students and families feel more supported.
Rachel Madding is the School Mental Health Program Manager at Highline Public Schools. Rachel, thank you so much for letting me drop by.
My pleasure.
And thank you for listening. To learn more about League of Education Voters or to support our work, please visit educationvoters.org.